Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
We are the New York Knicks.
I'm back in the New York groove.
Well, it's the Knicks.
New York.
We are the New York Knicks.
New York girl.
But this new season we're about to enter, the Knicks taking no shorts. It's like winter.
New York, New York.
New York be about the Knicks, huh?
But the best thing about New York City is
K-N-I-C-K.
Everybody say go New York, go New York, go!
Go New York, go New York, go!
Everybody, welcome to the New York Knicks podcast, episode 601. How you doing, Mark?
Good. We've been doing the show for a long time, and for the entire time we've been doing the show, the Knicks are obsessed with trading for stars, right? They got to get a star.
First season doing the show, they traded for Carmelo.
Yeah, they got Carmelo. So, I mean, like, they at least got him in the past, and now we're, like, searching for our new star, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a strategy. A strategy is to trade for stars and try to get them on your team. But you know what another strategy is, Jay?
What?
To try to get rid of all your stars. And that's what the Brooklyn Nets are doing. One by one, just get rid of every star player they have.
Imagine having like three Hall of Famers and having them all ask for a trade within 12 months.
At one point, they had arguably three of the 10 best players in the NBA and did not make it past the second round. And I know Kevin Durant's foot slightly over and they're back the day. Maybe they win a title. Who knows? But they haven't gone... Before they got all those players, that's about their ceiling was second round, and their ceiling with the players were second round also, apparently.
I mean, honestly, if they didn't make all those moves and they just kept that team, they're arguably better now.
I mean, if you kept that team, you'd have Spencer Dinwiddie on the team, right?
Well, they got him back.
I know.
They've come
I'm
full
hoping
circle.
Now, I don't want Cleveland to get... to get Kevin Durant. I have no interest in that happening, but it would be great if they somehow were forced to trade Kevin Durant for Jared Allen and Caris LeVert.
Just 4 years later.
4 years later, the exact same team. The best thing also was pointed out was that so many goddamn funny elements of this, but like that whole Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce disaster of a trade worked out about as good as this trade worked out. Well, I guess not trade, but well, these moves worked out also.
Yeah.
They both of them produced the second round. And it's really hard to see the Nets getting past the second round this year with Durant. And it seems like Durant's time in Brooklyn is probably done soon.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to get traded in the next 3 days, but I wouldn't be surprised if he asks out in the offseason.
I got to say, though, one thing. So Kevin Durant said he came to Brooklyn because Brooklyn is cool, or New York's not cool, right?
Right, he said Brooklyn is the cool team, the cool place to be.
Yeah, you look so tired. What, you're not energized by this?
Imagine you saw the Brooklyn Night and then said this is the cool place to be.
Well, I was going to say, I think Brooklyn did something really cool just now.
What is that?
They did something really cool.
Yeah?
Brooklyn, the Lakers really wanted Kyrie Irving, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Kyrie wanted to be on the Lakers.
Yeah, but you know what Brooklyn did?
Mm.
They hooked up the Knicks by getting Luka Doncic to ask out. It's coming very soon.
That would be hilarious if you just drove Luka crazy.
Oh, you think you think he's in May, he may drive him crazy.
Why? Just because
it's definitely happening.
Two entire teams hated playing with him. Or is it two teams that hated playing with him, or did he hate playing with those teams? Because, like, ex-players don't seem to, like, really badmouth him very much. So, I don't know.
We back?
We're back.
We had some technical difficulties.
Thank you.
Much like the Nets, we had some technical difficulties. I was saying that, which I guess got cut out, when you trade for Kyrie Irving, it's kind of like you got some money, you met some stripper at the club, and you're like, she's really hot. I'm gonna freaking marry this girl. And your friends are like, you don't fucking marry a stripper. And you're like, look how hot she is. How could this go wrong? And a year later, you are broke. She's taking all your money, and she's gone because she was a stripper. And that's the Kyrie Irving experience.
Sounds about right.
Did you hear what Kyrie said right when he was leaving?
What did he
say? I'm just going to make bad jokes about this now.
What did he say?
I really wanted him just to say, like, right at the end, like, Rafi's traded. They're like, he's like Joe Tsai. It's like telling him, I've been traded. And he's like, hey, Joe, I was vaccinated the whole time. Go fuck yourself. My other joke was that the reason the deal got done so fast is Kyrie called the Nets and was like, hey, you don't have to do this trade right now, but if you don't, you're not going to like what I tweet next.
You won't believe what movie I promote next.
Yeah. It's kind of like Schindler's List, where the Jews are the bad guys. You're not going to want to see this.
So yesterday the Knicks played.
And... By the way, I just want to add my last one,
okay.
My last joke. I can't help it. I think it's going to be great when Kyrie gets there and he's like, awesome. I'm excited about Dallas. Excited about having a Hispanic owner. It's going to be great. Kyrie, he's not Hispanic.
So yesterday the Knicks played, and the official Knicks account tweeted that the starting lineup, and RJ was in it, and then he wasn't in it.
Apparently he threw up during warmups.
He threw up during, okay.
Yeah, it wasn't the Knicks, like, I mean, Jalen was sick, like, a game ago before that, mm-hmm. the Clipper game. So it's not ridiculous that he was sick also.
I was just going to say, as soon as that happened, the conspiracies were like, he's traded, oh my God, they pulled him.
Oh, I'm sure. Like, the Knicks conspiracy, like, we're like, oh my God, I can't believe he's pulled from the lineup. Are we traded him for Kyrie? What's going on?
So he's got a poison pill contract. Are you familiar with that?
Kyrie? Do you know Kyrie got an extra $2 million for being traded?
Of course he did. No, RJ. RJ does.
What's the poison? No, I'm not.
So... if the Knicks wanted to trade RJ, they have whatever he's making this year, $10.8 million going out.
Okay.
But the receiving team receives the five-year average of his contract. And so since RJ is getting a significant bump for the next 4 years, it's called a poison pill. So they would actually be taking on $22 million in salary.
But that's only this season, right? Because the next year he just bumps to $25 million, right?
Right, right. So that's why it's really hard to trade RJ this year.
Not that we should trade RJ, mm-hmm. but why did we give him a contract with I guess it's not even really a poison pill.
Extension
works.
Yeah, like, yeah. So basically, out of like 300 and something players that have been in this situation, only one has ever been traded. So
who was traded?
I think it was Monte Ellis.
Oh.
So like basically don't hold your breath if you want an RJ trade. It probably won't happen.
Who wants RJ traded?
I don't know. People
besides you, Jay.
People are, I don't know. People are who are sick of watching crappy defense and crappy shooting. I don't know. I don't know who those people are, but I'm sure there's some out there.
You mean Clyde Frazier, who shots were fired mid game when he just like he's like RJ Barrett has the distinction of being he's the worst defender on the Knicks.
Yeah.
He said the stats pointed out. I'm paraphrasing him, but the stats pointed out Barrett out. He's the worst defender on the team.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not going to go super negative on him, but his defense has been pretty bad. You know, the Knicks had an awesome week since our last show.
Mm-hmm.
I said to you, the Knicks would go 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
You said 1-2.
Yeah.
The Knicks went 2-1 and could have gone 3-0 outside of a Nicholas Batum last second three-pointer to set the game in the overtime. I mean,
arguably should have went 3-0. Yeah.
I mean, well, they also shouldn't have. In fairness, they kind of had a huge comeback at the end of that game. Mm-hmm. They had no business winning that game until the end of the game when like they somehow made a comeback. And Jalen Brunson went insane.
A fully healthy Clippers team. That would have been really impressive.
So the three games, they had the Heat game, mm-hmm. Which you were sure the Knicks were going to lose the Heat, right?
Right. But you could thank me because I bet that Kyle Lowry would score at least 10 points because Brunson was out. And yeah. So he scored 0.
Yeah, that was actually an awesome RJ Barrett. At least on offense, RJ Barrett was awesome in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Got 30 points. There was all this shit given about the fact that RJ Barrett didn't close out the game. Which game did he not close out? The one where IQ played over him?
Yeah, that was the overtime game. So he didn't play the last 6 minutes.
Was it against the Lakers?
Yeah, the last 6 minutes and overtime he didn't play. But IQ was playing much better.
Yeah, I mean,
if one guy's playing really good and the other guy's not, it makes sense and you shouldn't fire the coach for that. And I think Optimum went down again.
Okay. Yeah. So we have lots of technical difficulties. We really are the Nets here. But they had a great victory against the Miami. There was a last second shot by Miami and you were positive that was going in, right? The beat us. I could not believe that shot didn't go in.
I was reaching for the remote to turn off the TV.
Oh my God. I was just like, this is like, there's no way a team can miss a last second shot against the Knicks.
That was one of the first times in a long time where it was like a last clear look at a last second shot and it did not go in for a crushing defeat.
By the way, Bam, I didn't realize Bam Adebayo was so like, how he's a pretty good shooter. I didn't realize how good of a shooter he is.
Like a really good free throw shooter too.
Really good free throw shooter, and like I'm not like talking about like just dunking the ball because you always mm-hmm. think of a big man that's like, just like right next to the basket. Like from 10, 15 feet out, he like was money.
Wait, you're allowed to have big men that could shoot more than 2 feet away?
Stop it. Hart can Hart's not the best shooter away from the basket, but Hart had a very good week.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it was an awesome victory. So much fun to beat Miami. And then you're like, then they play the Clippers. Clippers are beating the crap out of them all game. Jalen Brunson and Fuego.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. He basically, RJ Barrett was not that good that game. He was terrible, actually. Actually, the reason they lost the game, as much as it was Batum tying the game and then losing it overtime, if RJ Barrett is just not playing like shit, they would have won the game.
Mm-hmm.
He was terrible, right?
He was really bad. Like, really bad.
He was terrible on offense, could not guard anyone. That was the game where Clyde just called out the fact that he was terrible on defense.
Yeah.
And then they had the Heat game, and whatever, they lose the game. And then the Heat game, not the Heat game, sorry, the 76er game. Did you think they had a shot against the Sixers?
No, it was a back-to-back. They're playing Embiid and Harden. I figured one of those two are going to go for 40, if not both.
By the way, in fairness, the Sixers were down a play. But this victory does not count because the Sixers were down a few players.
Oh.
Do you know? They were down Charles Barkley. They were down down Julius Irving. Mm-hmm. They were down just all the great 76ers. Well, Darryl Dawkins.
They're going through some major strife right now, too.
The Sixers?
Yeah.
Well, what's up with them?
Furkan Korkmaz has requested a trade.
Oh, my God. Not Korkmaz.
I wonder if they just laughed when he did that. It's like, dude, you're averaging 6 points a game. Like, close the door.
Did he play?
I don't know if I don't even know if he played against the Knicks.
No, he didn't play against the Knicks. I don't even remember. Like, your 15th guy on the bench asked for a trade.
They're like, all right, dude, we'll get right on that.
Yeah, we're trying to trade you. What do you think?
That would be like if like Svi requested a trade. They'd be like, okay.
So I watch all these games on DVR because I wait for my kids to go to bed. I turn on the DVR, and you know what comes on? You watch this game. The Knicks game was not on. It was the goddamn Pro Bowl was on instead, which is like that flag football, like random skill competition they were doing.
Yeah. Yeah. There was like no communication of like, it wasn't on MSG. ESPN was showing that weird thing. Like, it was a very strange situation.
It was strange. And I couldn't find the game. Like, nothing I could do because the game's already over. I go to watch the game. I don't know the results, but I'm on DVR. So I'm just fast forwarding. I'm like, well, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
So I finally get to the game. The Knicks are down like 25-12. in 2/3 away, like maybe 5 minutes ago in the first quarter, I'm like, okay, they're done. This is great.
Yeah.
Did you think they even had a shot after that first quarter?
No, definitely not. I mean, Mitch is still out. RJ's out. The second night of a back-to-back. Like, I just figured schedule.
And no one can stop Embiid. Embiid's going to score 57 points tonight. Mm-hmm. The Knicks are not going to foul him on every play. It's just going to be a disaster.
Yeah.
But who's to the rescue? The bench.
Really good bench. I mean, Fournier was on fire all night.
On fire all night. McBride played awesome. Mm-hmm. Hart was, I guess the numbers don't back it up as far as points, but had a bunch of rebounds and was tough as nails in that game.
And the Knicks held Harden at 12 points.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Harden's not nearly as good when he doesn't take 25 free throws.
I'm amazed he didn't get so many free throws. I mean, the Knicks were good about just not fouling all the time, mm-hmm. not falling for his shit.
Mm-hmm.
There was one play where I forget who, maybe Grimes was guarding him, but wasn't even that close to him. Harden just threw himself. Grimes just put his arm up and Harden just threw himself into him and they call a foul. It was absurd.
Mm-hmm.
But then there weren't really many more foul calls. I don't know what's Harden doing, but I can't believe he only had 12 points. I thought he actually had more points.
I think he had 12. Pretty sure he had 12.
That's what he had. I'm looking at the box score now. I thought he had a couple good moves to the basket. I'm surprised he didn't do much at all the rest of the game.
Yeah.
But it's crazy the Knicks, all the starters had not that you can read that much in the plus minus, but all the starters were really bad. And the bench, McBride was a plus 34.
Fournier
was a plus 28. It was crazy.
Yeah. Well, that's good because that's been the Knicks' weak point for the last couple weeks. And, the bench is playing good. And look, the starters' minutes went down. See how that works?
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, he finished with the bench also. He gave the bench extended run in the fourth quarter because they were all playing really well.
Right. So maybe it's not like Tibbs running the starters into the ground. It's that the bench wasn't performing and they need to win games.
Do you know McBride has made 7 of his last 10 three-pointers?
Hopefully this is a turning point and not just a mini hot streak.
I mean, prior to that, he had hit two for 16.
I know.
Before that. So, I don't know. I mean, McBride apparently, he obviously hit some in the G League games. I guess in practices, he hits his shots. At some point, he'll play better. He'll hit some shots. And he did hit some shots last night.
I hope. I mean, they need outside shooting so bad. I mean, RJ's missed 14 threes in a row.
Oh, my God. So, someone pointed out that the bench looked a lot better last night. Who was missing from the bench? And RJ's been playing a lot with the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Has RJ been holding the bench back?
Maybe. I don't know.
I think it's more of a coincidence than anything else.
Yeah. I do like IQ with the starting lineup, though. I will say that.
I think IQ, it kind of works out that he plays more minutes with the starters anyway,
mm-hmm.
and RJ ends up playing more minutes for the bench. So it's not, even if you don't actually have IQ start, it seems to work out that way anyway.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, with the bench playing really well, do you know who didn't get a lot of minutes?
Who?
Obi. He's still stuck in not getting a lot of minutes. Everyone, because it's a huge bench game. Everyone on the bench played a ton of minutes. Obi's like, I got one extra minute.
I mean, it is what it is at this point.
Yeah, he was a plus 17, but which was the worst of all the bench guys.
He's in some trade rumors right now.
Yes. One of them would involve Obi, Evan Fournier for Jared Vanderbilt, Malik Beasley. And the sticking point is that Utah wants the Knicks to throw in an unprotected first round pick.
So Ainge just doesn't like the Knicks for some reason, right? Because the other rumor was that he was talking to other teams and he was asking for a bunch of second rounders. So I feel like he's just jacking up the price for the Knicks, and I don't know why he hates the Knicks.
I think he just thinks the Knicks are stupid. That just comes down to, first of all, he probably doesn't like the Knicks because of what happened with the Donovan Mitchell. He thought maybe he thinks they were jerking him around the Donovan Mitchell trade.
Well, the rumor I heard is that when the Knicks staff showed up to a Utah game in Utah, they thought it was kind of, he felt it was kind of like he was recruited. They were recruiting Donovan Mitchell instead of like going through him. And he felt,
that was the Stephen A thing. Yeah.
He felt slighted. So like, I don't know, maybe there is something to that, because it doesn't make sense that I'm hearing rumors of second rounders for other teams and an unprotected first for the Knicks.
I don't know. Danny Ainge has also like screwed a bunch of teams. Like, he's won a lot of trades.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to necessarily trade with Danny Ainge.
Well, let's see what Vanderbilt gets traded for. If he does get traded for a couple seconds, then you know he was jerking the Knicks around.
What do you think if it was, the trade was just straight up? What do you think of the trade? Forget the draft pick for a second. You're getting Fournier for Malik Beasley. They're probably a push. I mean, Beasley's having a better year, but he's also playing more. As far as three-point shooting, they're probably about the same in terms of three-point shooting. Mm-hmm. And defense, I don't watch a lot of Malik Beasley, but my understanding, he's not that great of a defender. Mm-hmm. Like, him and Fournier are probably a pretty, like, a push as far as players right now.
Right, right.
Vanderbilt versus Obi. What do you think of that switch?
I think Vanderbilt's a slight upgrade. I think he's a little better on defense.
He's a lot better on defense.
Yeah. I mean, it's all right. Like, now we're going to have Vanderbilt play 14 minutes off the bench. Like, it's not like, you know, it's a peripheral move, you know?
The theory is Vanderbilt can play the three and the four. Mm-hmm. He's a much better defender. Not like he's an elite defender, but he's a much better defender than Obi. Like, mm-hmm. No question. So you're going more of a defensive lineup, more of what Tibbs likes. And it's also a guy that maybe he's not really much of a scorer, but maybe he can develop a little bit. And I guess you're basically just saying like, hey, it'd be great to have a guy who could play the three and the four. And we don't have as much length as we need anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not bad. It's just like, all right.
Yeah. I kind of wonder, like, you have two picks in the, like, getting Jared Vanderbilt is not taking you very far in the playoffs. It's not like that move gets us to the finals. You have two picks in this draft that are coming up. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess the Dallas pick doesn't look quite as good now that they have Kyrie, or maybe it looks even better. Who the hell knows what's going to happen there? But it's probably not going to be that great of a pick. But between those two picks, you can't get a guy who's going to play, like, a guy that plays some defense at the three or the four.
Yeah, that Kyrie trade kind of screwed the Knicks Dallas pick up a little bit, in theory.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, is it so hard to get what Vanderbilt offers in the draft?
No, I don't. I mean, yeah, you wouldn't think so. I mean, I think it makes the Knicks a little bit better, but not like definitely not for a unprotected first. I wouldn't even want to do a protected first if it's those two in a couple seconds.
I will give an unprotected second round pick in the 2029 draft.
Anthony said, "I'm late. Did RJ get traded?"
RJ got traded for an unprotected 2029 second round pick.
So do you think Dallas is better now?
No. I mean, yes and no. On paper, they're better. I don't think this is going to work out well. So Dallas is not signing him till the offseason. Like, right now, I guess during the season, they're allowed to give him is a two-year, like, I think maybe $80 million deal. Mm-hmm. They can't give him a full four-year deal till the offseason because of how this – I don't know the rules behind this – The NBA NBA cap rules are so goddamn complicated.
But they might not. But I mean, Kyrie might just go to the Lakers.
I think basically it works out poorly with Dallas and both sides just say bye. Then like Dallas, I don't think, if you're Dallas, do you really want to lock him up until you see how it goes?
Well, no, but like then you lost at what? A first pick swap, your best defender in Finney Smith, and Dinwiddie was a pretty good piece. Like, you're going to lose all that for nothing if you don't sign Kyrie.
Well, if you win a title, I mean, I guess they're like, maybe we can get a title here. Maybe somehow we get the best of Kyrie and this somehow gets us go all the way in a kind of a weaker Western Conference.
Maybe. I mean, he's not the best defender.
No. Like, their defense actually just got worse. They traded their best defenders in the trade.
Yeah, Finney Smith is their best defender. So, like, and they were pretty light on the bench as it is. So now you did a 2-for-1. Oh no, they got Morris. But
I don't see any reporting of Markieff Morris, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because someone told me that, but then I don't see any. Every time I see the trade, no one mentions the fact that Markieff Morris was involved.
Well, I think that's what people think of Markieff Morris at this point, I guess.
So the trade deadline is on Thursday. I don't know if either team is done also. So apparently how that like the I guess the Dallas and the Nets have not called this trade in yet, which means it's not final, which means they can involve other teams and move the assets.
Yeah, from what I heard, Dallas is giving the Nets another 24 hours. The Nets are trying to get Toronto involved. I don't know what that's going to be. I heard they're looking at OG, which the Knicks had their eye on.
Yeah, I mean, now they have a bunch. I don't understand, like, so the Nets got Dallas's 2029 first round pick, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I understand that's like, oh, like that's so, like that maybe it's unprotected. How great is that? That's 6 years from now.
Right.
It's a long time from now. It'll be awesome when that gets here. That's a long time from now to like trade a player for like that far into the future of a pick. But yeah, they're trying to Toronto may empty the house. They may trade Van Vliet. They may trade OG. They may trade Pascal Siakam. The Nets are going to see what they can do to, I guess if you're the Nets, you're going to try to like make a big move so Durant stays, right?
Yeah, you do everything you can. I mean, if you get Harden, Kyrie, and Durant and lose all three of them after winning one playoff series, like, they got to save face and keep Durant.
You know what's going to be great? On Wednesday, the Nets are going to have traded for, like, OG, and they're like, and they're going to call Durant, and they're like, Durant, you got OG. And Durant's like, cool, 24 hours, I got to be out of here.
Yeah.
Wait, we got a yeah. No, I still want out. I'm gone. I mean, this is just
it's wild. It really is.
It's wild. I mean, it's amazing though. Like, if this was, I'm not the first to say this, but if this was the Knicks, they would be a national embarrassment. The Nets are so, like, I mean, people are making fun of the Nets, but to nothing like they make fun of the Knicks.
No, if this happened to the Knicks, this would be national news, like 24/7.
Like, this would be on CNN. They'd be like, in the lighter heart of the news, the Knicks are a joke. Whereas the Nets, like, are just, no one seems to care enough about the Nets. I mean, people make fun of this, but it's not as big of a story.
Yeah. All right. So.
So you think Dallas is better or worse?
I think they are probably better, but it's like, it's treacherous. Like, they're like, they can't handle any injuries now. Like, they're thin. Like,
right,
their ceiling is probably higher, but their floor is lower.
Do they have anyone that they I don't know, who is an injury risk, who they just acquired?
a guy who's injured every single playoffs.
Every single playoffs. I mean, their ceiling is definitely higher. Like, there's a chance that, like, I mean, Doncic's obviously amazing, and maybe like Kyrie is just like, I need a contract. I'm going to be like the best behaved Kyrie, and I'm just going to be on the court. Kyrie has been goddamn awesome this year.
Yeah.
So maybe the two of them, and like, you're like, well, defense, I mean, forget defense. Like, you just can't keep up with that. This team can score it. They're going to outscore everyone, basically.
This is the definition of high risk, high reward.
Yes. Yes. There's also a chance Doncic asks for a trade. It's really can go so many different directions here.
Yeah.
I am surprised. Are you surprised Mark Cuban rolled the dice like this?
No. I think he's also in a situation where he's like, I can't have Doncic ask for a trade. I need to do something. I need to get a star here. I mean, it's been the Doncic show there. It's like a one-man show. If you're Doncic, do you want to stay there if he doesn't get better players?
I mean, the last team that did this piss poor of a job of building around a star was Cleveland with LeBron, and he left.
Right, or the Knicks with Melo, or, you know, like, there's a lot of examples where it's like Garnett with Minnesota. Like, eventually, like, they want to get out of there.
But, like, LeBron, Cleveland did such a poor job of building around him, and Dallas right now, they've done such a – I mean, they got Porzingis, and they were like, we got Porzingis! And it worked out really poorly.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, they just haven't.
They're trying. They're just making the wrong moves.
Yeah, I guess they're definitely trying.
I'll give them credit for that. I mean, at least they're taking swings.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're a Dallas fan, are you excited? I was hanging out with a Dallas fan when I heard this news. Mm-hmm. He was not very happy.
If I'm a Dallas fan, I'm going to be excited, and I'm muting every Celtic and Nets fan because I don't want to hear their Kyrie experiences.
Oh, I don't think I think I would. If we were doing a Dallas podcast, I would be. I'd be both like, this makes no sense, but I'd be glued to the games.
Yeah. I mean, I would be scared. I would be like,
yeah.
I'd be like happy but terrified at the same time.
Right. And there's also what's going to happen is that sometimes very soon, obviously, he's going to start playing games for Dallas, and he's going to have a couple of awesome games, mm-hmm. and you're going to be like, wow, this is going to really work out. Mm-hmm. And then you'll go home after the first round of the playoffs and be like, what the hell happened?
Right.
Do the Nets, there's an argument the Nets are better. What do you think of that argument? The argument basically is Dinwiddie's having his best year of his career. Mm-hmm. He's like, he's usually not the most efficient player. He's having a great year as far as efficiency. He's mm-hmm. shooting like I think close to 40% from three, 46% from the field. He's scoring 18 points for the game. His numbers are there. Maybe that's partly by playing next to Doncic. Mm-hmm. But he's having a good year. You also added another defensive player in Finney Smith. Are they better when Durant's back?
Maybe. I mean,
less distraction,
better defense.
Cam Thomas can go for 40 points every night.
A little bit deeper. I don't know.
Jay sent me the box score. The Nets were playing. Who were they playing? They were playing Charlotte, and they were getting their ass kicked. And then later, then basically the Nets won the game, and Jay's like, how the hell did they win that game? That was the game Cam Thomas got 44 points.
They didn't start at like any of their starters. Like, yeah.
It was, yeah, no one was playing.
Weird. That just shows how bad Charlotte is.
Do you think the Nets move Ben Simmons?
Well, from what I read, they are trying, and he has absolutely no value right now.
I think you got to get the guy. Like, you got to.
Do you want to pay him $28 million for the next 2 years?
I mean, what if like Houston or OKC, a team that's just well below the cap, you
Why
convince
would they
them
want...
to take him?
What? Like, I think you would have to attach picks at this point.
I mean, the thing is, like, he's not far from removed from being one of the best young players in the NBA. It's... How old is he? Was he 25?
He's older than that, right?
I think he's pretty young still. I mean, isn't he a multi-time All-Star? He is 26.
Yeah, it feels like...
I mean, prior to his breakdown or injury slash whatever's going on mentally, he was pretty awesome.
Well, I think if any team wanted him, he'd be gone. I don't think anybody wants him.
I think we'll find out on Thursday.
Yeah.
By the way, should we also mention that... I guess it was announced after last show, or was announced that we mentioned on last show that Randall is a 2-time All-Star now.
That's right. Congratulations to Randall. And now that Kyrie's in the East, there's a chance for Brunson to get in too.
No, it doesn't. It's not going to make a difference.
Why?
He was voted in. So I thought the same thing. Mm-hmm. But if he's voted in, he still gets to be a starter for the East, I guess. They're not replacing him.
He's going to play for the East, even though he's in the
Well,
in the
they West? They do that draft thing now. I think they draft the teams.
Oh, that's weird.
You know how they've been doing it, where like they have two players pick the teams ahead of time, so it's not East versus West.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So it doesn't really matter who the starters are, like on paper, because they're not going to be the starters anyway.
Hmm.
You're just starter in name. I think because he gets voted in, he still gets they don't replace him on the roster. I read that somewhere.
That sucks. That I don't like that at all. He's not even in the East.
This doesn't happen very often where guys a starter on the All-Star team gets traded before the All-Star game.
I think it's the first time ever.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think of the trade value he got, what they got for him?
I think it's pretty good.
You think it's pretty good for one of the best a top five offensive player in the NBA, and that's all they got for him was Dinwiddie, Dorian Finney-Smith, and a first round pick that's going to happen in a couple of centuries.
Yeah, I mean, it's a guy who's kind of tanked the last two teams he was on, who's an expiring and can walk for nothing. And if he doesn't walk, you have to pay him $50 million a year. So, like, yeah, I think that's a pretty good haul.
I mean, I guess it's fine. It just doesn't feel like the least haul. This is the least value you've ever seen a guy at this skill level ever get, basically, in a trade.
I mean, that's what happens when there's an expiring and no guarantee that you're staying.
So there were a couple other trades on the that were offered. What do you think of the other trades? So the Lakers offered, I guess, Westbrook and two firsts, the 27 and 29 picks. Which trade do you like better?
Ooh, well, if you... See, the thing is, if you're a win-now team like you are with Durant, you don't want the Lakers. The Lakers picks are obviously... Well, not obviously. Probably going to be much better, but
I mean, the 27-29, they're far out there also, but you don't want to get two firsts.
You don't want to trade your second best player and be like, don't worry, Durant, help's coming in 6 years.
Yes.
So I would go with the Dallas.
Okay. The other one was the Clipper. And by the way, there's also a rumor that Joe Tsai just said, I'm not trading to the Lakers. I'm just out of pure bitterness.
Right.
The other one was the Clippers. The Clippers were going to give, let me find this. It's better if I came prepared, right?
Yeah, I would say so.
I can't find this goddamn trade. The Clippers were going to be
John Wall.
Probably to make the money work.
I mean, I'm guessing they wouldn't trade Kawhi or Paul George.
No, of course not. Let me see.
I mean, that would be a ridiculous team if you can add Kyrie and not get rid of those two.
Yeah, that would be kind of ridiculous. They were going to give up. Luke Kennard and Terrence Mann, and a future first round pick and two. And two first-round pick swaps.
Garbage.
You know, and Kennard's a good three-point shooter. Terrence Mann has shown flashes of being really good.
Great. No, I don't like it.
Okay. And I heard a rumor that I can't find it, but that Chris Paul was being offered by Phoenix.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you hear that also?
Yeah, I did.
Would you do that one? It was Chris Paul, Jay Crowder, and one first-round pick. I found it here.
No. I think they took the best deal.
I mean, the pause about that is Booker asks out if they do that trade.
Right.
It's interesting, though. What are the Knicks going to do? We've got a few more days. What's going to happen? Are we making this trade with Utah, or is Danny Ainge too hard to trade with?
I think Danny Ainge doesn't want to trade with the Knicks for whatever reason. So I don't think the Knicks are going to give up an unprotected first, and they shouldn't. So that's fine. So I don't think they're going to get Vanderbilt. OG, it seems like Masai doesn't like the Knicks either. I don't like how there's a bunch of GMs that don't like dealing with the Knicks. Like, Masai went on an interview and said, I hate the Knicks. So, he's going to try and screw them too.
I mean, also, the Nets are going to go hardcore after him, and they're probably going to be willing to trade more picks than the Knicks are going to be just because of out of desperation.
And the Nets aren't going to trade, I'd be like, hey, let's look into Dinwiddie if he's on the table, right?
The Nets aren't going to trade anyone to the Knicks.
Right. So that's...
I just know 29 teams are not going to trade with the Knicks. Beyond that.
So, I mean, RJ is too hard to trade because of the poison pill thing. So,
I mean, are you trading RJ? What are you... do you think the Knicks are better off trading? He is 22. Mm-hmm. So why is he such... his offense has been better as of late. The last 2 months, I mean, he had that bad game the other night. But generally, his shooting numbers have been a lot better. His defense has been the issue. Why is his defense so bad?
It could be what happened with Mitch and with Randall. He put on too much muscle, and he's just a step slow, and he can't keep up with the guys he's trying to cover now.
Yeah, I mean, that seems he does look a little bit strong, look a little bit bigger, and seems a step slower. So I feel like that's a good theory. And also, I think he probably spent all offseason just worrying about his offense because that's really thought, this is how I'm going to be better.
Which didn't pay off.
It didn't pay off either. And, But the big thing was that, like, last year, RJ always got the hardest assignment on defense, and now it's going to be easier for RJ because Grimes is going to get that assignment. And Grimes is getting that assignment, but RJ is doing worse still.
Yeah, I mean, people were saying, like, oh, RJ had the hardest assignment. It's like, yeah, but he got smoked every time. So, like,
every time.
I'm
wondering, basically, if RJ, like, he's 22, maybe he will be up to the challenge of becoming a better defender.
Mm-hmm. I mean, most people make a leap in what year, 6 or 7?
I mean, on defense, you can get become a better defender.
You can, but, like, I don't know.
He's just not, like, he's not going to be in it. Like, I don't, if you look at RJ and, like, he's going to be our savior, you're just going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
If you're looking at RJ and being like, hey, I just need a guy to be our third best scorer and play, like, average to hopefully slightly above average defense, he can do that. It's not crazy.
No, he could definitely do that. The problem is now he's getting paid, like, a major piece, and he's looking more like a, you know, all right, we'll start him type of guy.
Well, so I'm wondering also, do you think IQ gets paid this offseason, or they wait a year on IQ? Because they could do either.
Judging by the way the Knicks have been going, they're going to pay him right away.
I mean, maybe they'll pay IQ. Maybe the Knicks will say, like, hey, we'll give you 4 years, $60 million. See if they can get, like, him on, like, a discount.
Yeah.
And if not, they wait to the following year. But it's a lot of guys to pay.
It is. It is for, you know.
But it's, IQ's been better than RJ, so it's hard to argue that, like, he shouldn't get, like, money. He should get paid pretty well.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, on Bill Simmons' podcast, they did a trade deadline one, and they just threw out the idea of swapping Bones Highland for IQ.
Bones Highland, I like him, but he's like horrific on defense.
Horrific. It would be an insane. The justification was they were like, well, IQ would look really good on Denver. He'd probably fit better with Jokic. It would make Denver better. And then the justification for the Knicks was, for some reason, they want to trade IQ, so I guess this makes sense.
I mean, Bones is getting less and less minutes in the...
Yeah. I also don't think the Knicks are actually serious about trading IQ. And maybe earlier in the year, but now he's been playing so well, I think it would be crazy of them to trade.
I think Bones had a DNP recently.
Did he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what the story is there, but at least when they were talking about him on Simmons, they were saying how, like, he just tries too often. Like, he tries to get the offense, like... Like, Jokic's there. Everything should go through Jokic. And sometimes he's like, no, I got this. And they're like, no. The league MVP got it. Let the league MVP get it. He'll right. pass to you when he needs to pass it to you.
Right.
So really, I'm thinking the only trade that happens is Cam Reddish for a second round pick.
Yeah, it seems like they're having trouble doing that. That's the difference with front offices. Like, the Knicks have been trying to trade Cam for a couple second rounders for like 4 months, and Kyrie becomes available, and 24 hours later, he's on Dallas. Like,
I mean, and according to Knicks Twitter, Cam is about as good as Kyrie.
Well, yeah. And that's an insult to Cam because he's, according to Knicks Twitter, he's better than Kyrie.
Right. I think the Knicks probably, in fairness, do you think they're trying really hard to trade him, or they were like, let's see what develops, get closer to the deadline?
Maybe I think they made it very clear he's available.
Right, but do you think it, like, they were like, hey, maybe the, like, instead of taking a second round pick now, maybe we'll get a better offer when it gets closer to the deadline?
No. I think if somebody took 2 second rounders like 2 months ago, he would have been gone.
I really hope he's gone because I can't hear about the Knicks didn't play Cam again.
It is getting old. Yeah.
You want to do some questions?
Yes, but before Anthony said, IQ has been better than RJ. Go back and think about what you just said, Mark. This is where we are.
What did he say?
IQ has been better than RJ. This is where we are.
I mean, I can't argue with that. I mean, if you're looking at a player from both sides of the ball, IQ has just been better than RJ. They what was the plus minus? The team sees him, not the plus minus is everything, or on the court, off the court, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But the worst player on the Knicks right now, the worst plus minus is Sims. Mm-hmm. The second worst player on the team is RJ.
And he's been trending down.
IQ's been one of the best.
He's been trending down because I checked like a week or two ago and RJ was like, you know, three or four from the bottom. So he's actually like trending down pretty quickly.
Yeah, I don't. I think it's value. I think basically RJ said, you know what? For next year, I'm going to play just like RJ, just like Randall. I'm going to be this year's Randall.
I want to be 2022 Randall, not 2023 Randall.
Yeah. You mean 2021, 2023? No, 2022. Yeah. I want to pout as much as, not that he's pouting that much, but he hasn't been very
just
good.
Just inexplicably bad for no known reason.
I kind of want him to attack the basket more. Also know when not to attack the basket. Like, no, like pull up from 10 feet when the basket, like when there's two guys at the basket. And maybe just shoot less threes.
Definitely shoot less threes.
Shoot two or three a game and that call it quits. I've noticed Randall also, like, if he's not hitting his three, like, he'll shoot a lot of threes in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. If he's not on, he usually does not shoot a lot of threes the rest of the game.
Right. Yeah, he's like, oh, I don't got it today. Let's do something.
Yeah, exactly. Like, either he's like, I got it or I don't got it. If he hits them in the first quarter, he'll go crazy the rest of the game. But at least he, like, knows when to stop shooting threes, where RJ just drives you goddamn crazy. But I also shout out, Grimes is looking a lot better. In this past week, Grimes on offense has been hitting his shots again.
Yep.
And Hart has done a fantastic job filling in for Mitch.
He's been having a great week. Great week.
Yeah, I mean, not like the whole time, but like the last week or so. Last week or two, his game has stepped up immeasurably, like so much better than he was looking earlier on.
Yeah.
All
right, before we do questions, NBA fans, it's time to bring the hoops action to the palm of your hand with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. This week, new customers can bet $5 and win $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, for a limited time, all new and existing customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Go to DraftKings Sportsbook app today, opt in, and place a same-game parlay on any NBA game, and if it doesn't hit, you'll get a bonus bet back. So you have any have you been betting lately?
No. I'm not good at betting. Mm-hmm. I tend to bet my money and lose it all,
mm-hmm.
and then get scared to bet again.
Okay. I've been doing a small bet before each game. I win some, I lose some. I'm up overall. So
what was a good win for you?
My best one is I won $85 on a $5 bet. So that was
pretty
happy.
Wow! What was a?
I always stack the parlays. I always do, you know, like Randall points and rebounds over, or Brunson over assists, or you know, I just stack a bunch.
I'll tell DraftKings that if you guys can do an over under for when Doncic asks for a trade, I'll put $100 in that. The odds better be able to win a lot of money.
So download the app now and sign up with code NYKP. New customers can bet $5 on the NBA and get $200 in bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA with code NYKP. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
I got to say, like, also, when we went to that game and Martin was betting, when he was doing the in-game bets,
mm-hmm.
I was like, this is really addictive.
Yeah.
Like, this is like, I was like, oh, this is really fun, but I just don't like losing money on betting.
Yeah, every time there was a timeout, he would just put a bet on who would score next or something. It's kind of funny.
Okay, so base Nick fan writes, why is this team so set? By the way, should I have said I've been doing a lot of betting for our sponsor? Is that a bad answer?
That's fine. I've been doing a lot of betting, so it evens out.
Okay. You're kind of low today. Is your volume?
Low. I might just be talking low. I don't know. I'm tired.
Okay. You sound tired.
Yeah. Long day at work.
Jay, you sound as tired as Tibbs doesn't play the young guys thing. You sound as tired as you make fun of you. You're so tired. You look like RJ on defense. you're so tired. You look like I'm Randall after Tibbs plays 47 straight minutes.
I'm so tired. I look like Tibbs's playbook.
Okay. Base Knicks fan writes, why is this team so set on building a team around Tibbs? When has that ever worked? So my question to you first is, what does it mean to build a team around Tibbs? What's that look like?
I think he's just talking about that he's getting Tibbs types players, guys who...
Yeah, what does that mean? What are Tibbs type players?
Defensive-minded players.
So is there anything wrong with building defensive-minded players? Isn't that a... Like, whether you're building around Tibbs or not, like, the 90s Knicks played a lot of defense. That seemed to work out well.
Yeah, I don't think it's... I don't think they've been... I don't think they've been targeting just Tibbs type players because, I mean, I feel like the front office wanted Brunson, and it did not matter who else was available. They had their eyes on Brunson. They were going to get Brunson. I don't think that had anything to do with Tibbs.
I mean, that worked out really well. But yeah, would you say Brunson's a Tibbs type player?
No.
I mean, if anything, you'd think like if Tibbs could draw it up, he'd have a point guard with more size.
Right.
And Brunson's been awesome, but like I'm just saying, like, and also, so like, who else? Who are Tibbs type guys? You could say like a guy like McBride and Grimes are maybe Tibbs type guys, but mm-hmm. are you unhappy with any of those guys being on the team?
Right, those are like fan favorites.
Right, and IQ maybe on paper when they drafted him didn't sound like a Tibbs guy, but now he plays really good defense, and maybe he's becoming a Tibbs type guy. And are you upset when IQ plays?
I don't really know who else would be Tibbs guys.
I mean, I guess Chris is like the rumor that they'll trade Cam for like Reggie Bullock, and they're like, "Oh, you're getting back the you're getting back like a Tibbs kind of guy again, right?"
But these are rumors that haven't happened.
Yeah, nothing's happened. I mean, it's just an exploratory, and
I mean, if I've learned anything from this front office, they don't leak stuff. So that makes me kind of think they won't get Bullock because they haven't made any moves that we've seen coming.
And drafting Obi was not drafting a Tibbs type guy because Obi's not a great defender. No one's ever going to argue that he's a great defender.
Hopefully not. But,
yeah, I mean, but generally trying to get guys that can play defense, maybe you call those Tibbs types guys, but is that a bad idea either way? Okay, so what has it worked ever building a team around Tibbs? Has that ever worked? I mean, the Bulls were pretty good prior to Derrick Rose's injury.
Bulls could have won if they didn't get hit with a bunch of injuries. And the Rose one was like a fluke thing. That wasn't like Tibbs just overplaying him. That was just like a fluke injury.
Yes, yes, Tibbs murdered Luol Deng. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, like, and even when Rose was injured, like he had the offense go through Noah at the time that worked out pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah, they still made it second round like multiple times.
Okay, and then the question is, has it ever worked to build a team around a coach? I mean, the Phoenix Suns would build their teams kind of around D'Antoni's offensive style. And that arguably should have worked out well.
I think a lot of teams base their roster around the system. And the system is set up by the coach. Like, I mean, the Spurs got Popovich players all the time.
Yeah, I mean, you can argue that, like, Tibbs doesn't really have much of an offensive system, and his only system is like wanting guys to play defense.
I'm not saying it's the best strategy, but I don't think it's like unheard of what they're doing.
But when's the last time the Knicks like just got their ass kicked in a game this season?
Yeah, they haven't gotten like completely blown out. They get blown out in third quarters, but
I mean they got blown out that Dallas game before the 8-game winning streak. Mm-hmm. But since that blowout in Dallas, or the Dallas, not in Dallas, but in New York, when Dallas blew them out, they've basically been in every game.
Yeah.
I think there was one game, I can't recall, where they just lost the game. Who was it against? Was it the Spurs, where they just like flat out got beat?
That might have been it.
But generally, like you're like upset the Knicks lost to like the Clippers, went to overtime. They've lost a couple other games where they were very, very close games. And Knicks, like, it'd be great if the Knicks had closed out those games, but like Tibbs has this team fighting every night.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know on defense, spend too much time defending Tibbs, but I just don't think the record would be that different if a different coach was here. Do you think people give Tibbs too much crap?
Yeah, I mean, I he's a flawed coach, but I don't think it's like, what do you expect out of this roster? Do you honestly think that this is like a roster that's going to go deep with a different coach?
Well, you know, here's a better question also. Forgetting what you think of Tibbs, I mean, he's a flawed coach, definitely. Do you think there's a chance the front office gets rid of him anytime soon?
No.
I would be shocked if he's not here next year.
You know,
the team has to collapse.
Knicks have had 9 overtime games already.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah, it just seems like a lot.
Yeah. I mean, they play competitive basketball. GN writes, who should the Knicks go after for a trade that would fit into this team and take us further than the first round?
That's tough. Like, it's not a lot of players available. There's not a lot of flexibility. I don't know.
Do you make the phone call to Joe Tsai and go, I know you don't want to trade with us, but we'll give you everything.
That's like how every call starts. I know you don't want to trade with us.
But let's say they give whatever the maximum number of first round picks and pick swaps they can do, plus say Obi and RJ. Do the Nets think about it? And this is for Kevin Durant, obviously.
They might think about it.
Would you do it? Not for the Nets perspective, but the Knicks perspective. Would you go all in to get Durant? Knowing Durant could also ask out like that summer.
I know.
He has no loyalty whatsoever.
I know. That's the crazy.
But would it be worth it if Durant came here and they just won the title? And then he asked out.
Look, it's always worth it if you win a title.
Yeah. Like the Kawhi thing in Toronto. I cannot imagine a single Toronto fan begrudges him at all for leaving.
Or even the Lakers with Anthony Davis. Like, I know some people are saying that, like, I saw some people say that was a mistake. I'm like, no, they won a championship. It doesn't matter if Davis is crap the rest of his Lakers career. They won a championship.
People also are like, well, it was a bubble title. It's a title.
I mean,
it's a title. I'll take any form of a title.
They still played best of seven series.
Yeah, they won the title. There's like this, whatever you want to, like, in any way you could say it's a harder title because it's a bubble title. I'm not going to give them extra credit for that one, but so who could they trade for besides Durant? I really think it's a matter of like someone big asking out, like Luka, Devin Booker, anyone else available you think that would make a difference? Like, we don't think OG gets us to like makes a contender.
Doesn't make him a contender. And I think to get out of the first round, they need to, they can't play Milwaukee or Boston.
Yeah. I mean, I guess OG might get them out of the first round. I just don't know if it's worth trading a ton of picks just to get out of the first round.
I mean, if Philly ends up in third, the Knicks end up sixth. And you get OG. It's possible.
So since the Knicks schedule got really tough, the Knicks are 7-6. Which is pretty good, but the rest of their schedule still is pretty hard.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. GN writes, why can't the fans be critical of obvious deficiencies of this coach, i.e. lack of plays run late in the game, out of timeouts, offensive schemes aside from ISOs, inbound play calling, yet another 5-second violation last night, template cult coaching, and automatically be dismissed?
I think, like, you go online and everybody's trashing Tibbs all the time. I don't think anybody's ignoring any of this stuff. I feel like it's been so negative, we've been defending him, and we're not even fans of Tibbs.
Like, Tibbs is fine. I just don't, like, I've seen the trash we've had for the last, like, decade or so. And I remember, like, he's the best coach since Woodson, and Woodson was trashed also when he was here. Mm-hmm. I just don't think it's that easy to find a better coach.
Also, with this roster, I just don't see what another coach is going to do with it.
Right. I mean, maybe if they were closer, you could have that like Nick Nurse type that puts them over the top.
You know, Nick Nurse is playing. They have Toronto has 3 guys in the top 20 minutes played per game.
Yeah. He really plays those guys a lot of minutes. And he's like the guy, like, I mean, he would keep game coach. They won the title in the first year with Nick Nurse. It's just tough when you've seen so many bad coaches here to like, and it's also, there's something about just having like a continuity. Like, we were basically for a decade, basically, we seemed like we turned the roster over every other year and we changed coaches every other year.
Look, Tibbs doesn't have a lot of plays. He doesn't seem to have an offensive scheme.
Yeah.
It's annoying. It's frustrating. I'm not in a rush to get a new coach until, like, the Knicks get, like, a better team as well. Like, do people really think that, like, a new coach is going to say, oh, we got an all-star on this team. Let's play him less minutes for this guy on the bench that is unproven.
So all the critique in that question is correct. All those things are real critiques. They're all real. Like, I mean, he's a kind of a – he said how good of a coach is he? He's like a 5 or a 6. He's solid, not terrible. He's not great either. Maybe if he had an offensive coach, like assistant, that really like focused on his deficiencies, maybe that would make up for them.
Yeah.
But you're right also. Like, you just give him a better roster that would like – if the bench was awesome last night, but the bench was good every night – they'd look a lot better.
Yeah. Yeah.
GN writes, why does RJ suck this year, particularly on defense? I guess we said he got a lot of muscle and got slower.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I mean, you say he sucks this year, but look, compare stats from year to year.
But that's his defense. We're talking about defense, though. Like, his defense was better previous to this.
It was. It was. That's the only thing I could think of. Is he put on too much muscle and he's slower now?
I would say, I know you want to compare the stats from like this year to last year. He had a really terrible stretch early in the year. He's been much better since then.
Yeah, but that like, really I think terrible close stretch was 25% of the entire season.
But the last 35%, he's been pretty good. I know he had a terrible stretch. He's a late start or whatever. He's been pretty good as late. Like, I think he's close to 40% in the last 30 or 40. Like, I don't know the exact numbers, but like the last 2 months, he's been close to 40% from three. He's been hit. He's no, that can't be right. He's been terrible as of late. I don't know. He's generally been shooting better.
And Anthony wants to know why he always inbounds the ball. He's the worst inbounder on the team.
Jalen Brunson inbounded last night and couldn't get the ball in.
Yeah, well, the game before, RJ just like threw it like at Randall, who was like double teamed, and it was a turnover. It was.
Oh, that was a bad one, also. I don't know. This team has some issues.
He did that twice in a row at the end of that game.
This team has some issues. I mean, overall, RJ, for being the number three pick in the draft, is not what you want to get in the number three pick in the draft.
Right.
If you got him like 15th, at least perspective-wise, you'd be like, oh, that's a solid get at 15.
Yeah.
It's just like the weight that's on his shoulders for being the number three pick in the draft.
Yeah.
Especially when the first two guys were so much better. Oh, here's a trade for you, Jay. Who says no to Zion for KD straight up?
Zion for KD, who says no? I don't know. That's a...
The only reason you might think the Pelicans say no in my mind. I mean, like, obviously Zion... Potential-wise, the potential's all there.
Yeah.
But he's played half the games this year, missed all of last year.
Yeah.
The guy is a huge risk as far as injury. KD is awesome. KD makes your team is pretty good. With KD, your team's awesome. The big risk is KD just leaves, like, the following summer or just asks for a trade.
He hasn't been healthy lately if you either, though.
What do you say?
It's not like KD's been very healthy lately either.
No, no. But if you could believe KD would be there... and the Nets, if you're the Nets, that's a pretty good return, right?
Yeah.
If you're going to rebuild, is Zion not one of the best players to rebuild with? If he can be healthy?
Huge risk. I'd probably keep KD.
But that would be like, that would be a pretty good return.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. Los Dude on Instagram writes, not sure if you're a gamer, but which Nick team would you like to see in an NBA 2K series?
94 Knicks.
Yeah, I agree with that. That was their best team.
I mean, it would have to be 94 or 99, right?
Yeah, but 94 was the better team. And you also had Patrick Ewing was like at the height of like.
Yeah, I want to play with like closer to prime Patrick.
Right, and also, like, I'm not taking the 70 or 73 Knicks, which were, I guess, the best Knicks teams, because they're just well before my era.
Yeah.
Tristan on Facebook writes, Do we think that there is any way for Evan to get a role in the team? Had some great shooting against Philly, and the team really needs a shooter. Yes, his defense is bad, but it isn't worse than RJ's, and he's playing 40 minutes a night. By the way, do you read what Evan said after in the post game press conference?
Well, he's not even sure if he's going to play again.
No, they asked him. They're like, do you think maybe you can get a role now? You played so well, and he basically said a couple of things, but he was just like. It's basically a one night stand.
Mm-hmm.
He's like Tibbs has his rotation. Maybe some injuries happen. Whatever. I have no expectations of playing anymore. But I appreciate the opportunity.
Professional.
He's such a professional. It's unbelievable. So I also saw the argument today online that someone said if the Knicks had just played Fournier instead of RJ all this season, they'd have a better team. What do you think about that?
It's debatable.
Knicks fans are just getting angry with this team.
I mean,
like we no other fan base does this with their team as much as the Knicks do.
I'm not like saying that. I'm not thinking. My immediate reaction is not that that's ridiculous, which is not a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, you make the argument that like Evan's clearly a better. I mean, his numbers this year haven't been good, but generally he's a very good 3-point shooter.
Mm-hmm.
The team needs that, and he's not a good defender, but he's RJ's not worse than RJ.
Yeah.
I don't see him playing that much outside of injury, though. Frank writes, okay, I need you guys to put in on your tinfoil hats on. RJ missed last game against the Sixers with non-COVID illness. The game prior against the Clippers, he played like absolute garbage. Do you think he actually got benched or maybe things were said after the Clippers game and the team suspended him a game? They didn't announce it as such because he's on a trade block. And they don't want teams thinking he's a malcontent. Remember, he was kind of pissed when he got benched against the Lakers, and maybe things boiled over. Or do you think he was actually sick, and that explains his play against the Clippers?
I mean, my initial thought was that he was traded, but it did come out that he threw up. But yeah, my initial thought was, yeah, they set up something with like OG or something like that.
Unless the Knicks are lying about him throwing up, I mean, it makes sense also because Brunson missed the game again. By the way, we didn't also mention the fact that they beat the Heat without Brunson, which was kind of amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, pretty outstanding. It kind of makes sense that if one guy gets sick, another guy gets sick also. And they said he threw up. I like how you're thinking, Frank. Daryl writes, there's an easy solution. Play at the level and you don't get benched.
There you go.
Yeah.
Is that
I think that's all our. I think that's all our questions, Jay.
All right.
Let's just do our predictions for next week, or till our next show. How the Knicks will do.
Anthony wants to know why is RJ always throwing up.
Okay, for next show, it looks like I guess we probably should record Sunday next week. By the way, because the Knicks play on Saturday and Monday. And Tuesday's Valentine's Day.
And
so
play
probably
again Wednesday, right?
Yeah. So Sunday?
Okay.
Okay. So the Knicks play the next three games, Orlando, Philly, and Utah.
Three wins.
I mean, the Knicks just came off of the Heat, the Clippers, and Philly and went 2-1. This seems like a much easier path here.
Yeah.
Orlando, who's been playing better lately, but the Knicks should beat Orlando. Philly's tough. And Utah, the Knicks should beat Utah. I'm going to say 2-1 again.
Okay. I'm going 3.
I'm going to say they beat Orlando. I'm going to say they probably lose to Philly and they beat Utah.
Okay.
And then on Monday night, they play Brooklyn. Who the hell knows if he'll be on that team at that point?
Right. That'll be after the trade deadline. So, yeah, it should be interesting.
And we will only do an emergency episode if something crazy happens on Thursday, which I don't think anything's crazy. Nothing crazy is going to happen for the Knicks.
So you want to record on Super Bowl Sunday?
Oh, fuck. God damn it. I don't know when we're doing our next show.
Thursday.
What's up?
Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday or we do it during one of the games. We can talk about this later. Or I'm going to assume your significant other is not a fan of us doing it on Valentine's Day.
Or yours, I would assume.
I assume. I think my wife would be like, whatever. We're still gonna have dinner together, right? Okay, it's fine. I'm gonna go to bed. I think it's probably not good for either one of us to do that.
We'll play it by ear. I mean,
we'll play, but we'll figure it out.
I mean, two of the games are. Yeah, we'll figure it out. The Tuesday games at 7, like, you know, we'll know.
We could do.
If the Knicks are up or down by 20, then we can.
Maybe we could do.
All right, this isn't good show material. So
you don't think this is good material, Jay?
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back soon. NYKnicksPodcast@gmail.com. NYKnicksPodcast on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Patreon. TheNewYorkKnicksPodcast.com is our website. And we have a comedy show, The Brink of Sanity. Check that out, BrinkofSanityShow.com. It's been fun. We'll see you soon.
Tune in next week to find out if Brooklyn is back to playing in New Jersey. They had such a bad trade deadline.
Bye, love. This is the end.
Say goodbye.
You better go away.
I'm gonna leave you.
It's the end.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Just leave me alone.
Feels so good to say goodbye.
I'm sick and tired and I'm saying goodbye.
Goodbye, girl.
Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. Everybody.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.